If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam, my pleasure.
You're welcome. Well, we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the important concept of khums, the one-fifth of the money which is remained after a year, and it is incumbent on a Muslim to pay one-fifth of this amount
And I would like to ask Sheikh Javid, you know, this question, which is very much frequent, and you know, lots of people might come across this. Is the maintenance, Sheikh Javid, which is usually paid by an individual, you know, to, for example, by his parents or yes. father, mother, whatever, you know, or even a relative, considered as a gift or not? If the donor has never paid khums, you know, including his assets, these assets, you know, out of which, you know, he takes away the maintenance and gives it to an individual. Is it obligatory for the receiver to pay khums, for example, for the maintenance that I told you about, that he received from the donor?
Yes. I would like to say that this is a very important question and very practical in terms of the fact that, or in the sense that it, such a scenario does occur in people's life
yes.
very often. Now, for example, the wife receives some money from her husband. The wife is a practicing woman. For example, the child receives some money from his or her father, and, mm-hmm. and he or she is a practicing child. And she's worried as to whether she's supposed to, because, for example, she knows that her father is not paying khums, her father is not, you know, does not care about khums. And mm-hmm. so what should she do in this case, of course? Now, according to His Eminence, first of all, let's say that if it comes as a gift, I shouldn't see or I shouldn't I don't need to investigate whether my father or my brother or sister or relative, who has given me this gift, actually has paid homes on the money which he used to buy this gift or not. I'm not responsible for that, because I don't have to check it. Even if I know that he has not paid homes, it's not my duty to pay homes. It's not my responsibility. It's not my actually liability, because I'm not liable for the homes. That person, either he is my father or my brother or my uncle or anyone, he has to pay homes on his asset. So I'm not going to pay for it. And therefore, if it comes as a gift or as a present, I'm not supposed to pay homes on any gift, because according to his principle, according to his juristic doctrine, homes is not payable on gifts or presents.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes as something different, like it's not a gift, it's not a present, then I have to, it depends on the donor's intention, you know. Sometimes it might come as a gift, sometimes it might come as a present, as we discussed it in one of the previous episodes. And sometimes it may come as a wage or something like that, okay? Now, you have done something, you received that money, and you probably do know, you know something about it. So if it comes as a wage and a year runs over it, of course, homes should be paid on it.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have to know, we have to check whether, for example, that the gift I'm receiving or the thing I'm receiving is a gift or is a present or something else.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Mohammed Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the important jurisprudential laws or Islamic laws related to khums. Well, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, people will have their relatives over and they give parties sometimes, you know, and some of these parties that they give are related, for example, to the wedding, or they come after their wedding ceremonies or whatever those ceremonies in fact concern. And sometimes people give some kind of gifts, like what we call as bridal shower, right?
Okay.
And or some kind of bridal gift.
You're right.
Let's say, or present. And if somebody, a newlywed family, for example, receive these bridal gifts, is it, incumbent on this family to pay the khums for them, for the bridal shower or the gifts? Or let me put it another way. If somebody gives, like, for example, a parent gives a flat, an apartment, to his or her daughter or even son, this kind of flat or apartment house, is the house or apartment subject to khums too?
Well, I should say that according to Ayatollah Khamenei, such a person, maybe the daughter of the family who receives the trousseau, or what you call bridal shower, does not have to pay khums on the thing she receives. For example, if she receives a flat or let's say a house as a gift from her father, the house is actually proportionate to her status, to her social status. And it is given as a gift to the daughter because the daughter, the father is being very kind, and he is willing to give not only a flat but also maybe other things, very precious items to his daughter.
Nice.
So in this case, of course, there's no khums on the things given to the bride. And those things may be given either by the father or maybe by the bride's friends, because she has friends.
Yes.
And of course, there could be, as you rightly mentioned, there is a party, and the party is called bridal shower. So they give different things to the bride, to their friends.
Mm-hmm. They are considered gifts, right?
Yeah, they are gifts, and of course, khums is not payable on them.
Mm-hmm, I see. And very quick question, Sheikh Javed. Is it permissible for a Muslim to give money to his wife as a gift before the end of his khums year, a kind of fiscal year, while knowing that his wife will put the money aside, save this money, in order to buy, for example, something for their own sake, like the necessities of their own life, or even to buy a house, for example, in the future for themselves?
Well, obviously the husband or the man of the family is allowed to do so. And he is not required to pay khums on the gift he gives to his wife, provided that according to people, this amount of money given to the wife is appropriate to his social status and that of the people like him, and he has really given it to her as a gift. Now, it's not, sometimes you give it as a gift and sometimes you might give it as something to be deposited by the wife and kept, and actually you entrust it with the wife.
Mm.
And maybe sooner or later you will get the money back from your wife. So, again, I should say it depends on the intention of the husband who gifts his wife with the money. So if it's given before the due date of khums, because for example 1 month is left and then the husband gives some money as a gift to his wife, of course, that man is not supposed to give khums on that money, even if his intention is to escape or to avoid giving khums.
So it's...
because he gives it as a gift to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no money left with him. Or maybe there's some money left on. He has to give khums on that remainder.
Right.
And not on the money gifted to the wife.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you for joining us, RIB English Radio, for this program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن.